Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to this special edition of the Four Year Scenes Fire American Soccer Show as we review the semifinal matches of the 2014 U.S. Open Cup. Once again, you can listen to me and here on blogtalkradio.com/Four Year Scenes Fire. You can follow anything and everything about the U.S. Open Cup on thecup.us. And don't forget soccernewsday.com to find out more information about not just the Open Cup, but everything involved in American soccer. And internationally, of course, you got two separate games that were complete opposites of each other down at Toyota Field in Dallas, out just outside of Dallas in Frisco, Texas, where it was a tight defensive game, a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, of course. Only goals being scored in regulation, went into extra time, nothing happened in extra time, only probably a booking, that's about it, and then it went to penalties. And in penalties, just a very, very tight, close game until you saw some great saves by Zach McMath, who, let's be honest, if you are a Philadelphia Union supporter, you know very, very well that you've had your problems in goal. Of course, since the drafting of Andre Blake in the super draft this past off season in 2014, it's a situation where you probably say to yourself that Zach McMath definitely has the feeling of pressure on him to perform a little bit better. The way this game was won, going into the penalty round shootout, the question you're wondering is, has he saved his job? Has Zach McMath saved his job as the starting keeper for the Philadelphia Union? And the real answer is, I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know. Only those that follow the Union will have to tell you what they're saying. And then for the first time ever, for the Philadelphia Union, for the first time ever, they are going in their second attempt in the semifinals. They are headed for the U.S. Open Cup Championship, and they're going to face the Seattle Sounders. Now, obviously, for the Sounders, was basically a big-time victory for them because it meant for them that they're back to where they feel they should belong. And that is, of course, the U.S. Open Cup Final. From 2009, 2010, 2011, and 2012, they have won three championships out of the four finals they reached. Of course, their 2013 final, they lost to Sporting Kansas City, being eliminated in early rounds against the NESL's Tampa Bay Rowdies in another NESL legacy game. And you know what? Give them credit to get a victory against a team where they faced in the final back in 2012, the Chicago Fire, in this semifinals. And what happens? The Chicago Fire get blasted out of the park. Unbelievable scenes at Starfire Complex up in Tukwila, Washington. And it all means right now a trip to Philadelphia, to Chester, Pennsylvania, as the Philadelphia Union will host for the first time ever the U.S. Open Cup Championship Final. Now, this will be the last year for Gold TV broadcasting the Open Cup Final, and we'll see what's going to happen in the future. Obviously, we have Fox Sports reshuffled, becoming Fox Sports 1 and, of course, Fox Sports 2. We also have beIN Sports. Obviously, they have their deal with CONCACAF showing World Cup qualifying games, including the USA games when they are on the road, outside of in Mexico at the Azteca, and not showing any home games because of their home contract with ESPN. But the truth of the matter is this, is that where do you think the home for the U.S. Open Cup television-wise should be? Should we have it on the brand-new beIN Sports channel that has already been on our TV sets for a little over a year now? Of course, finally getting not just on satellite dishes but on cable boxes. Should we allow them an opportunity? After all, they do show the Capital One Cup from England, which is basically their league cup. Should Fox Sports get a second chance to show the U.S. Open Cup tournament, but not just the final? Because the truth of the matter is this. Whatever U.S. soccer asks for, we need to see more than just the final. This tournament is 101 years old. Should we see more than just the final game, the championship game? As great coverage as the U.S. Open Cup has had internet-wise through YouTube. And let me just say from U.S. soccer's point of view, you know, handing over their graphics for scoreboard, clock, everything, that's a great job by U.S. Soccer. U.S. Soccer is seeing some of the benefits right now of showing these games and allowing whoever hosts these games to get their graphics and show them, everyone, that it's starting to mean something. I think at the moment, U.S. Soccer, slowly but surely, is doing a very good job of how they're handling the Open Cup and its popularity. Now, I keep on saying more needs to happen. Obviously, we can't rush into these things, but the point is that if U.S. Soccer shows that they care, and so far they have, the truth of the matter is that when the popularity, which is still there, it hasn't been there full-blown, obviously, because there are some people who would like to see it more as a weekend arrangement than a midweek arrangement, and that's understandable. But until certain things are going to come their way, at the moment you'll see it as a midweek tournament. And the truth of the matter is that whenever you watch the Copa del Rey on beIN Sports involving, obviously, Real Madrid, Barcelona, and every other team there. I mean, they have those games midweek as well. De France is also midweek. The German Cup tournaments are also midweek. Only in England, FA Cups are considered weekend. And you know what? Sometimes it's not about the availability of the weekend. Sometimes it's about, well, listen, where can they put these games? You know, these games are very important. These games must be seen on their own without any interference from any other tournament that is involving U.S. soccer or MLS clubs when it comes to the respect level when it also comes to trying very hard to market these games the right way. Right now, a great job by U.S. Soccer to separate these games so they're not back-to-back-to-back in all these early rounds. It is a great job to see them do that. It is a wonderful job to see them going forward with it. And you know what? I hope that U.S. Soccer continues to build and to make this tournament what it should be. After all, it is over 100 years old. We are about to finish up the 101st edition as we celebrate 100 years of the U.S. Open Cup. This is the 101st edition of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. This is our championship to the entire to the game in the entire country. 48 states land, one in the South Pacific on an island, and of course attached to Canada and very close to the border to Russia, 50 states and territories, but 50 states it is. And seeing everyone supporting this tournament through the computer has been fantastic. There's also been great support in the seats. Obviously, certain things when you've seen them in Dallas or Frisco, where you saw one entire side empty, which is not the TV side, that's a problem. In my view, if FC Dallas wanted to prove to people that there are people watching this game there at their stadium, they should have put everyone that was on the camera side on the other side. You made the bad choice of allowing people to see the negativity side of the Open Cup. And I think this is where if you really, truly want this tournament to become bigger and better and badder, I think people that run their MLS stadiums need to make sure, they really need to make sure that they put all the people on the other side of the stadium where it's not camera side. Because as I saw pictures, camera side had all those sections filled. Better promotion, better talk, better information about the Open Cup. And I think at the moment, that's what's been missing. But I have to say, though, for the FC Dallas's broadcaster, who apparently did not know this, but he is also the broadcaster for the Dallas Mavericks on Fox Sports Southwest, I have to say, for Mr. Mark Followill, great job. Mr. Followill, great job calling FC Dallas games. That was a great job by him. I have to say that I was impressed. I didn't expect a basketball expert. Of course, calling Dallas Mavericks games on TV in the local local Fox Sports Southwest regional network, doing a great job calling a soccer game. Does he need more work? Probably, but from what I've heard so far, done a fantastic job calling FC Dallas games. But other than that, we'll wait and not worry so much about that, because the best thing about this game was for my first guest talking about that Philadelphia Union side. Of course, he's happy to see them advance to their first Open Cup championship for the first time. Philly Soccer Page's own Earl Reed joins me right now. And Earl, I know that was kind of a late night for you on Tuesday evening, even though the game started Central Time, but still, a lot of nerves, a lot of twitchy bum time, and it pretty much got interesting once whistle blew for extra time.
Yeah, Daniel, thanks for having me on. Yeah, that was, you don't get to experience that a whole lot when it comes to like league play and whatnot for MLS, definitely in the MLS Cup playoffs, you could see that. But it seems like the U.S. Open Cup's the best opportunity to see extra time, and the potential for penalties is there. And that was, twitchy bum, whatever you want to call it. teeth rattling, biting your fingernails. It's one of those cases where you almost don't want to watch. But the Union showed a lot of resolve and get coming up there and taking the penalties, even with their best penalty taker, who I don't believe he's missed one in the course of his MLS career. Sebastian Lethoux, he had to be taken off during the match because he had run out of gas, but they were able to convert all theirs. I mean, it was a great night. Pretty decent crowd there. It's a U.S. Open Cup that doesn't tend to have, aside from Seattle and maybe Portland, doesn't tend to have the huge crowds that you see at MLS games. But it is what it was, and I thought it was a good match for both teams. Probably Dallas had a case to have perhaps won that match even. But it was great. The drama was exciting, and I think when it came right down to it, Philadelphia is happy to be advancing, getting to host this next round.
Absolutely, the championship round. Before we talk more about the match, I want to talk about Zach McMath, and obviously you've seen plenty of him being in net. There have been times where Zach has not looked stellar. Zach has missed a lot of opportunities to make big saves. He's allowed basically either being late to some balls, being beaten very easily, or there have been times he's actually held on to the ball, but it's gone through his hands and into the back of the net. Did you feel that if Philadelphia was going to get into the final, this had to be McMath's game in the penalty round shootout?
He's shown the season that he has, he's done well with penalties this season so far. So for them to get there, you thought that they had a pretty good shot. He's obviously done some good things with that. I think McMath gets an unfair characterization as far as, gaffes, whatever you want to call them. This season, in past years, I think he has struggled at times. I think there have been, it's tough for any young goalkeeper to break into the league and, come right out and show his stuff. I mean, we've seen this many a time that, especially the American keepers, gel as they age, and it can even be 30 plus before a goalkeeper really comes into their own in MLS or when Americans go overseas. But so for McMath to sort of get thrown into the fire pretty early in his career, yes, he had some tough growing pains there. They finally, here in the last couple of years, that brought in some competition for him. And it seems like he's raised his game a lot. This year has been much better. He's gotten a little bit of criticism for the goal that happened there in the Open Cup semifinal. But, how much do you fault him and how much do you fault the defense that just allowed Fabian Castillo to get well behind them? I mean, they're playing a high line. Castillo obviously is a burner. If you're McMath, when you get there, you have to get there or else you're in no man's land, and that's what happened. But there were a couple other cases in the match where he came and actually got there, and which could have been poor or very difficult chances, great chances for Dallas. So, it's a mixed bag. I think his command has been much better this year, and I think it's almost unfair to him that not only did they draft Andre Blake, who is by all accounts a potential great goalkeeper, not only in MLS but maybe even overseas, but now they've brought in the Algerian national team keeper Rais Mboli and unseated McMath like that. And I mean, he's still playing because Mboli's had some visa issues, but you know, it's almost like he's been hard done a bit. Now he's probably got to look for another team here in MLS, and I think he's shown that he can be a serviceable keeper. So, but as far as this match goes, yeah, I mean, and it was about him. I mean, he was the man of the match. A couple of great saves in the penalty shootout, and you know, I think he keeps showing that he does have value in this league, even though I think keeper tends to be a position that doesn't usually get a whole lot of value when it comes to trade value and whatnot.
Very true. I was going to say, I mean, when you look at a player like Blas Perez, who has done everything down in Panama, of course, the top striker for the Panamanian national team, and even though Perez's penalty was taken poorly, you still have to see the keeper making the ability for the save, and McMath just did a great job, not only guessing right, but making sure the ball stayed out of the net and not even give a rebound ball a bouncing chance to get past it. We've seen, because we've seen, like, in past games, even in the World Cup where it went to penalty round shootouts, we've seen the keepers making the save, but the ball has an opportunity to bounce over the goal line, and so far it never did. But if it ever did, I mean, the keeper would look foolish. But still, though, McMath made a great play on the Blas Perez penalty, even though it was taken poorly. Still, McMath did a great job on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's weird because you saw Shannon Williams and Zach Lloyd both make, you know, take very good kicks for defenders, you know, and you know, Perez, a guy you expect would be very skilled and precise with his penalty kick or with any shot in general, he was actually, that's probably one of the worst places you could put it, is, you know, just off center at basically waist high. I mean, it's pretty much in the right in the breadbasket for McMath, and he didn't have to do, I mean, he had to guess right, but it wasn't as if he had to stretch. Now, Ulloa's, he had to make a much more impressive save on that, and that was definitely a highlight, even though I think, you know, Union fans will probably be thinking more about the celebration that happened afterwards than the save. But, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I had to go back the next day and rewatch the, which is nice because it's on YouTube. But rewatch the penalty shootout just because it was, like we talked about earlier on, you know, sort of the nervousness of it, and, you know, to see your team pull through is a special thing, and it doesn't happen during the league season, so to see it in a, you know, and that's what makes this competition great, and it's unfortunate that it can't get more, you know, get more of its due, but, you know, we just have to keep hoping that U.S. soccer and the MLS teams and whatnot, they continue to try to push this tournament and find, you know, either a television partner or sponsors or both, so that this tournament can get its due, because it's very unique for this country to have this type of a tournament.
Absolutely. What was, I mean, the first half, obviously, a lot of excitement, not a lot of goals, but did you feel when Okugo got the tally in the 47th minute that maybe certain things were finally changing? I know we follow each other on Twitter. You weren't a happy camper between Okugo's goal until Fabian Castillo converted the equalizer. You felt that there were so many chances that Philadelphia could have had at least 2 or 3 goal lead in this game before you got to extra time. What was it that you didn't like from the Union in this game that made you really not happy about the performance up to that point?
I just think in general their shape wasn't great. I think that they, for a team that actually was playing defensively, I felt like their line was a little too high with a guy like Fabian Castillo, who can make some real speed and you know, get to those through balls. I also feel like they didn't do a good job of holding possession, and you know, that's kind of tough for most teams to do with a one goal lead. You know, the tendency, I think, for anyone is to try to stay behind the ball, so to speak, and, you know, lob it out of there and not necessarily, you know, look for, you know, take, you know, put your foot on the ball and take a little bit off of it and try to just possess. I mean, those were most of the things. You know, it's tough when you're in the heat of it and you're watching the match. You know, it's tough to see, you know, see them not really figure out how to get more, you know, more shots. You know, although, you know, Andrew Wenger had a nice shot that went off the post after the Okugo goal. That could have been another goal. But, you know, the other thing you have to weigh into this is that that was, you know, their second match in just a few days, and they also had to look forward to tonight's match, which starts at 9, which is against Houston in the league. And so there's a lot of those types of factors where it's, you know, you have to balance. Do you want to bring on Christian Maidana, who might only have 30 minutes worth of, you know, fitness in him because he was coming back from an injury? You know, you have guys like, you know, Brian Carroll or, you know, Obi Okugo. Now, he sat out the match before against Montreal, but, you know, you have Adu on, you know, sort of tired legs. Ethan, you know, not necessarily Ethan White. He had been saved from that Montreal match as well. But, you know, Maurice Adu had been out there for a lot. Sebastian Latou, like I said, he had played in these matches. You know, it's Connor Casey. Had been on a long time. So, you know, it's really tough when you get into these summer months and warmer weather and, you know, these midweek matches. I mean, I think it's sort of a fact of life that you've got to, you know, fact of the league is that, you know, and this Open Cup competition, you've got to have midweek matches or else you just can't fit them all in. But, you know, it really takes its toll, and, you know, it really comes down to can the manager – you know, Jim Curtin, the interim manager, can he balance everything? And, you know, so far, he got the victory against Montreal, got the albeit 120-minute victory against Dallas, and now they got tonight against Houston. So we'll see how that goes. I'm not real confident about that, but.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. And let's talk about that finals Tuesday night, September the 16th. The Philadelphia Union hosts the Seattle Sounders, who pulled a Germany destruction over Brazil like they did on the Chicago Fire, a 6-0 whooping. What is it about Seattle that right now makes you a little leery, or do you feel that the Union are, just because they are home, do you feel that there's an advantage right now against this side that's won 3 consecutive Open Cups and is back in the final for the first time since 2012?
I mean, I think it's going to be natural to be a bit leery of Seattle. I mean, I think the Union have to look at it as, you know, playing with house money. I mean, they, for how they started this season, you know, to be in a position to where they could get a trophy, I mean, you've got to go all out. You know, what they have to do is hopefully in the next few weeks pick up as many points as they can in the league so they can try to concentrate on that final. And Seattle is a daunting task. Obviously, you have Clint Dempsey, you have Obafemi Martins, you have you know, Ozzie Alonso, and all these great players. Marco Papa, and you know, lots of excellent technical players. And they've, like you said, they've been there before. I would imagine the Union are going to be underdogs, even though they're at home. And you know, but what the Union have to do is look at this from the standpoint of, you know, sort of, a dog in the corner. You know, you got to come out fighting and scrapping and hope that, either Seattle has an off night or that, you know, you can successfully thwart them and be able to beat them on the counter or something like that. But, you know, it'll be great for them to be able to do this at home. Hopefully there's a big crowd. I'm sure Seattle will bring some people, some supporters from out west. Hopefully it's a great night there in September, nice, cool September evening for soccer. And, you know, hopefully the Union come out on top. It would be great in the first 5 years to be able to lift the trophy. Seattle got that opportunity as far as MLS goes, lifting trophies early on. So hopefully the Union can do the same thing.
Absolutely. So, Earl, listen, when I'm done broadcasting, I'm going to give you a call. But other than that, good luck with the final. Good luck with the rest of the league season. And I will definitely talk to you soon right after the show is over.
Thanks, Daniel. Have a good one.
All right, take it easy. And that's Earl Reed from PhillySoccerPage.net talking about the Union and their semifinal victory at FC Dallas at Toyota Field. And it's just one of those things where, you know, it's a great job by the Union. This is their second attempt in the semifinals and first attempt to go into, or shall I say, second attempt to go into the final, and they do so. So we'll see what happens on the final. Could not come on live. Had to record the show, record his segment, but obviously the Seattle Sounders are back in the Open Cup final after, like I've said already, they pulled a Germany destruction on Brazil. What happened against the Chicago Fire over at Starlight Sports Complex in Tukwila, Washington? 6-0 Sounders against the Chicago Fire. Just an unbelievable thing to see that. Never has the Seattle Sounders had a blowout lead like this ever. And for the Chicago Fire, this is their first time they've been blown out in the U.S. Open Cup on the wrong side of that scoreline. But without any further ado, from Sounder at Heart, SB Nation blog, here is the recording with Mr. Dave Clark about the Sounders defeating the Chicago Fire.
Welcome back to the U.S. Open Cup semifinal review show special. Daniel Feuerstein here with Sounder at Heart, SB Nation blog writer Dave Clark. Dave, thanks again for joining me, and how are you?
It's a great day. It's been a good week. I mean, that was an awesome game.
Oh, I bet it was. You know, the Chicago Fire have been, I mean, I've never seen them allow so many goals in a match. I mean, the last time I saw this happen, obviously, was at Red Bull Arena at the end of last year's regular season, where the Red Bulls put five past Sean Johnson. And I was mentioning to the production people in Chicago that, you know, I've never seen the Fire give up so many goals in a game, and it looks like they've done it again, and the Seattle Sounders were the benefactors of it.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that needs to be said is that Sean Johnson actually had an incredible game, which is really weird to say because he gave up six goals, but he had some stellar saves, stellar stops that, you know, two on him kind of situations, and he had several saves. Like, Kenny Cooper should have had a hat trick. Andy Rose should have had a hat trick, and neither of them did because of Johnson. So it's on the Fire. You know, here's some trivia for you. You've never seen the Fire give up six goals. You've actually never seen the Sounders win 6-0 before. Not in the USL, not in the A-League, not in the NASL.
Hmm.
That's their largest margin of victory ever. So this is a team that's, you know, you've seen it. You've seen it in the Open Cup. We've talked already this year about facing an amateur side. So the Chicago Fire did worse than PSA Elite.
Wow.
Or Cal FC or the Atlanta Silverbacks.
Very true. Very, very true. It's amazing to see what happens now in recent times. I mean, I was billing this semifinal between Seattle and Chicago as the, you know, the battle of not just a rematch from the final, one of the finals that obviously Seattle hosted. I think it was back 2011. Yep, absolutely. I mean, I thought Chicago was ready to come in, and then all of a sudden, after halftime, it all exploded.
Yeah, they did okay in the first half, but I mean, I feel really kind of bad for Chicago fans. They put out 10 of 11 of their starters from their last MLS match, and Seattle had five or six, depending on how you're counting Zach Scott these days,
mm-hmm.
of their regular starters. And so it was essentially Seattle's, I don't know, you call it an A-plus or a B-minus squad, but it wasn't the A team.
No.
And to dominate like that is unusual. It's unexpected. I mean, nobody would expect Seattle to. It's kind of unfair. You have Andy Rose have his best game as a Sounder. You have Kenny Cooper as well have his best game as a Sounder. And then to top it off, Obafemi Martins comes on late in the second half, and I don't know. I don't know if Siggy just wanted to send a message to Chicago, but even if he didn't, the message was, this is how good we are. You can't stop us.
How is it? I mean, we've talked about Kenny Cooper many, many times. Now he is either tied or passed scoring the most goals in Open Cup competition in the modern era of this tournament. I mean, scoring his 12th and 13th goals in his Open Cup career and doing it as a member of the Sounders, that has to be such a positive for your guys going forward to get towards the final.
Yeah, Kenny's kind of built perfectly for the Open Cup because he has all the, you know, he doesn't necessarily have a physical presence, but when playing against MLS teams, you know, he's a, for a guy that's that big, he plays kind of softer than he is. He, you know, he uses soft speed and technique, not necessarily his 6-foot-plus frame. But when he's going up against amateur and lower division sides, he can use that frame quite easily. So he's got a great mix for that kind of tournament where there's so much variance and quality of opponent. You saw him score both with his head. He had crosses. I mean, it was 2 goals and 2 assists. So he had a beautiful game. Honestly, even if he hadn't scored, he deserved to be the man of the match. His performance was incredible. And one of the good things for him is opened out for the regular season match this weekend. So Cooper made it very clear who he thinks deserves to start in Nova's place. You know, this is a guy who used to be a starter all the time, and now in Seattle, he's basically here to win trophies.
Yeah,
he put Seattle in a good position to win to compete for one in the U.S. Open Cup, and he's earned himself another, you know, at least one more start in the regular season at Seattle, which is hard for the Shield as well.
Absolutely, and it could be a possible double coming up. And, of course, let's not forget the former Fire player that's got his career start with Chicago. Chad Barrett got that first goal in the 5th minute before Andy Rose exploded and everything else went Seattle's way. Barrett, obviously listening to Ziggy Schmid, like you've said many times, it's about trophies. And just for him to start the whole goal parade off was probably worth it.
Yeah, it's kind of notable. Ziggy didn't mention Barrett in this, but post-game he said he went to Jaleel Anibaba and Marco Papa, who had very recently been with the Chicago Fire, and he said to him, listen, there's a reason you're here. The reason is very simple. You're here in Seattle to win trophies. You beat these guys, you have that opportunity. So it's not about your old team. It's simple. You're here to win trophies.
Absolutely. Get that little bit of revenge out of their mind or else it could cloud the judgment. And that's a great job by Ziggy Schmid. That's an excellent job because you're there to win a title. You're not there to look for some form of revenge. I don't think Papa was probably going to be looking for any revenge because obviously it was a mutual separation when he went to Europe. But still, you're absolutely correct and Schmidt's correct. You cannot have revenge cloud your judgment in an important semifinal like this.
Well, yeah, and you know, it even goes for Barrett and Cooper, both of them, as well as Chad Marshall, who didn't play in that game. But those three took significant pay cuts, basically, or at least that's our understanding, when they decided to be Sounders. And the reason players with that much veteran service take a pay cut is it's always simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
it's to be on a better team, capable of winning things. So, you know, the performance against the Fire, it was inspiring. It showed a resurgence of the Seattle attack that had kind of faded off in the past several weeks, and they did it for the most part without Clint Dempsey, without Obafemi Martin. So, you know, we have a joke on Sounder at Heart that calls this offense the Hydra because you cut one head off and another one's there and takes its place. And that was the kind of game that kind of exemplified that whole theory. The goal scoring came from everywhere. And, you know, there are other goal scorers that are still available. Lamar Nagel hasn't scored in a while. Oba only had a goal. Clint Dempsey didn't even need to play. Brad Evans is capable of scoring as well. It's a deep roster. It's very attack oriented. And, you know, Chicago trying to convert Jeff Lorenkowitz to a defensive midfielder. And Bakari Somar, who now, I mean, Chicago has brought in so many different partners to pair up with Somar, and maybe the problem isn't the partner. You know, they've had Austin Berry, Zelilo
Anibaba,
John Kennedy Vericato, Patrick Ioane. Now Jeff Lankowitz is his partner. And you know what? Every single partner they've had with him hasn't worked out. Maybe the answer is starting other guys.
Probably.
Rather, you know. You might be benching the wrong player. Just a thought. You know, I don't know if Frank Yelich as a coach, besides the fact that he really likes his forwards to foul players a lot. But defensively, I see an issue. So
it looks like there might be an issue. Now, welcome back to the finals. This is going to be the fifth trip in 6 years, obviously. You had three in a row winning at D.C., against Columbus, against Chicago, on the road at Sporting Kansas City, losing in the penalty round, of course, losing last year in the second or third round, I believe, on the road in Tampa Bay, and now you're back in the final. What is the feeling with the Sounders supporters as well as with the club? Because it looks like it's old hat to me.
Yeah, I mean, it does look like that. That's that. But there's an expectation of victory. Philadelphia isn't a very good team this year. Yes, Sebastian Letou is extraordinary in this tournament. He was once the Open Cup player of the tournament when he was here in Seattle, I think. That was prior to MLS, if my memory serves correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But he's dominated. He's up there with Kenny Cooper in the all-time scoring leader list. He's a great player, but it's Philly. Philly's got significant issues. They aren't performing well in league play. Even if they prioritize the Open Cup, are they really going to put it, are they going to prioritize it more than in a Obafemi Martins, Clint Dempsey, Osvaldo Alonso, Gonzalo Pineda, Stephen Fry, Chad Marshall, you know, half those guys didn't play against Chicago. So Philly and Chicago are basically the same quality sides right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And Philadelphia, of course, once again made a coaching change. And right now the former Chicago Fire defender Jim Curtin is running the Union. But then again, we'll see what happens when September 16th rolls along. And, of course, even though there have been some issues with Philadelphia this year, and it looks like it's been cleaned up a little bit, what is it about Philadelphia right now, if you would say does concern the Sounders, where would it be at the moment? Would it be with Letou, Connor Casey, maybe the back line, something easy for Seattle to take advantage of? What is it about Philadelphia that you can see the Sounders?
I'd be concerned with Letou and... Oh, crud. The midfielder that they've gotten, I can't remember his name right now.
That's okay.
Kind of they have a creative midfielder who should be able to set up Letou. Letou's going to use space both on the wing and up top very well. Seattle can, Chad Marshall can deal with Connor Casey quite easily. That's not a concern. I'm not concerned about their back line. But Letou is capable of having magical moments. He can take over a game at times, and he'll be doing it against the teams that once upon a time meant a lot to him. So he'll be up for it. This is the kind of game that Letou really enjoys playing in. I'm concerned. Stopping him will be intriguing because it's not going to rest on one player. He's going to pop up in weird spots. So the communication amongst Seattle's primarily defensive players will be vital. Otherwise, Letou will be scoring multiple goals.
I bet he will. All right, Dave, thanks a lot for being here with me again. We'll talk to you after the final, obviously, and good luck in the final. Good luck with the rest of the season. We'll see what happens. Obviously, Seattle in line for a possible double. We'll see what happens. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thanks, Dan.
And that is Dave Clark from Sounder at Heart. Once again, the Seattle Sounders taking out Chicago Fire by a final of 6-0. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, that was a hell of a result by the Sounders to go back to the Open Cup final. First time back since 2012. So it should be a lot of fun as the U.S. Open Cup final will be on Gold TV Tuesday night, September the 16th. Check your local listings. Of course, check your cable boxes as well as check your satellite dishes. If you do have Gold TV, I believe I do have it here in my studio. Yes, I do. I have Gold TV. as they will be broadcasting their last U.S. Open Cup final. It's a three-year deal, of course, so we'll see what happens for the future of the Open Cup final being broadcasted on television. The Philadelphia Union hosting the Seattle Sounders at PPL Park in Chester, Pennsylvania. If you feel like taking a trip down there, head on down 95, I-95, up 195, depending on which side of the country you're at. Fly on over if you like. Take the train over to Philadelphia, then take the local SEPTA to go to Chester, and there should be some buses going from the Chester SEPTA station to PPL Park, or hang out with your friends. But it should be exciting. It should be interesting. The Philadelphia Union going to their first ever Open Cup final. The Seattle Sounders going to their fifth. So it should be exciting to see. It should be wonderful. And let's all hope it's all going to be a lot of fun here. So I cannot wait to see what's going to happen as the Philadelphia Union will take on the Seattle Sounders in the U.S. Open Cup. Now, there have been some positive things I've said about U.S. soccer on how they've handled the Open Cup in recent years, including this year. Of course, the failure of the fourth round setup is not U.S. soccer's fault. In my view, it's MLS's fault for not running this fourth round properly because of their MLS clubs and the World Cup being played at the same time. Once again, I felt that it was absolutely disgraceful that MLS forcing U.S. soccer to separate these games into these match days where basically you could have had everything done within 2 days. Obviously, the Wednesday before the Open Cup began, before the World Cup began, Thursday after the opening match with Brazil and Croatia, you could have had at least 2 days of Open Cup goodness, and unfortunately, everything fell apart. So, in my view, that was a negative on MLS's part, not on U.S. soccer's part or of the Open Cup committee. But unfortunately, now, I have to say there is a negative from U.S. soccer, and it is a negative as well as on Major League Soccer. Now, obviously, we don't want to talk about being Euro snobbish or anything like that, but the truth of the matter is this, is that with the Open Cup final starting a little bit earlier than normal, so why can't a midweek game involving the Chicago Fire be, you know, which of course the Fire are not in it, but why not move a league midweek game to another week so this Open Cup final can be played on when it should have been played, end of September, beginning of October? Does everyone understand where I'm coming from, and what I'm talking about? Why is it that in England, for the FA Cup, when it's the semifinals, when it's the semifinals, a Premier League club will move their league game to a later date and have their FA Cup game, either at home or on the road, being played that weekend? Tell me why. Tell me why MLS can't do that. Why is MLS's league calendar sacrosanct? Why is MLS's calendar so golden? It's really simple. You just move the league game to another date. That's all. And you allow that game to be played, which is the U.S. Open Cup final, on either end of September, beginning of October. Now you're moving this game in the middle of a CONCACAF Champions League day Now, I understand, you know, it's not my team that's playing in the CONCACAF Champions League, so I don't care. But that's not the point. The point is that you're supposed to have respect for other tournaments like what they do in UEFA. Now, if I'm acting like a Euro snob, it's not about being a Euro snob. It's about seeing why they do things the right way. This is doing it the right way. And the problem right now is that U.S. Soccer, along with that Major League Soccer, are not doing this the right way. They are not. This is where you try to be as fair as possible, but at the same time, we need respect for all tournaments, whether they are a part of MLS or they are not. Because everyone does things the right way. I mean, it's really not that hard. It's really not that hard. I wished that – and I understand, to be honest with you, I do understand why MLS and U.S. Soccer needs to do this. There's only so much room you can put on your calendar and, of course, the sports that's going on. Now, Philadelphia will host Chicago on Thursday, October 2nd, can be moved. In my opinion, this game can be moved. You could have moved it either a week before or maybe a week or 2 weeks before, maybe a week after. It's one of those things where it's just really, really asinine that these games cannot be moved for the Open Cup final. I mean, you can move this game to a Thursday if you want. I understand the weekend games are really, really, or the weekend dates are very valuable for MLS. I understand all that. I really, really, really understand that. But can we be truthful about it? Isn't it time that we finally show some respect to this tournament? Because it's really, really bothersome to me that not only MLS, but U.S. Soccer is disrespecting the Open Cup. Like I said, you can move Chicago-Philadelphia game towards either September or sometime October. I understand that the necessary for the league break for 2 weeks was important. I understand that. And that's great on MLS. But it's not great when you cannot schedule correctly fourth-round games of the Open Cup in the middle of a World Cup year. And I don't care if they didn't schedule any of those Open Cup games during the USA's first group stage game against Ghana. That's not the point. The point is the entire World Cup should have not been touched. And the other part is that, once again, MLS, U.S. Soccer, has done things the wrong way. Did anyone see during the All-Star break or during the All-Star or the days or the day or two before the All-Star game against Bayern Munich, the Men in Blazers show? In my opinion, that coin flip which they counted as a draw to see who will host the Open Cup final, depending on whoever wins it or whatever and blah, blah, blah. That was the first time I've seen a U.S. Open Cup coin flip for round proper or for or basically a bracket game gets tossed on live video or on live television. Out of all the coin flips they've done, out of all the coin flips that people from within soccer clubs, from Major League Soccer to the NASL to the USL Pro to the PDL, soccer writers, to make sure that everything they saw was on the up and up, that everything was all kosher. We have never seen on a stream or on video or somehow on television an official draw of any kind, whether it's putting your hands in a big jar, pulling out balls with the numbers representing a certain team, or let's just say you have two big bowls, one to say here's one opponent and the other one is for the next opponent, then you do the coin flip for who will host the match. Does everyone understand what I'm talking about here? Why is it, because it's Men in Blazers, oh, we'll do the draw then, or we'll do the magical coin flip then? This draw of coin flips should be done in front of everyone with a stream on U.S. Soccer's website, with the help of YouTube, however you want to do it. And once again, it's basically two steps forward, but then it's three steps back. This is not hate on U.S. Soccer Day. This is supposed to be celebrating the national championship of the game in this country that is run by U.S. Soccer, honoring Lamar Hunt, the man who gave a damn about not just the NFL, but this sport as well. So why have we seen the coin flip for the right to host the final on video of some sort to make it official? I'm sorry, but it looked like amateur hour to me. And I don't say this lightly. This is how I feel. And I understand what everyone said. Well, you know, if U.S. Soccer doesn't care, why should I care? But that's not the point. The point is we should all care. Not just myself, not just, of course, many others of those guys that cover the game, cover Open Cup, like the Cup.us, like Josh Hakala and Steve and Tavio Palazzolo and many others. We all love the Open Cup. We all love the Open Cup. All we're asking U.S. Soccer, while they've improved it, they made it into a farce again, and it's not right. Let's have the draw. I don't care if it's going to take 12 to 15 coin flips to get it done right. If this is how it's going to be done, the draw, which I understand, our country is huge, it's big, then you know what? Then let's show it on the video, on a stream, that this is our draw. Waiting for a list on the website is just not good enough anymore. I want more. You should demand more. We should demand more on how this tournament is being run by our national soccer company, the U.S. national team, the U.S. Soccer Federation. Let us have it done the right way. And if we can't do it the right way, we can improvise. And if we're going to improvise, then let's show everyone in the country that the draw is not a joke and it's not something to trifle with. I think that's all we're asking for, isn't it? And I hope it gets fixed as soon as possible for 2015, because we need to have everyone on the same page. I want to thank my guests, Earl Reed and Dave Clark. Tuesday night, September 16th on Gold TV, the U.S. Open Cup Final. Be there at your house or at your pub, or watch it with someone who has Gold TV. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Join me this Monday as we honor Landon Donovan for his time in U.S. soccer. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Join me again this coming Monday to honor Landon Donovan. And as always, enjoy your football. Thank you. Have a good night, everybody.